And now you're listening to Power Drive 3 to 6 p.m. Taking your calls on 0861 987 000.
And this is Power Drive with Kirsten Greenop, and I have taken over from Thabiso Kotane for today. So I have stolen his chair, and we are speaking all things to do with gender economic empowerment. And we really would like you to join the conversation. These are experiences that people have had every day. This is the type of thing that people are living. It's the type of thing that people struggle with to actually keep their businesses going. So please join the conversation on 0861 987-000. You can tweet us at PowerFM987 with the hashtags PowerDrive or the hashtag 987Woman or Standard Bank ZA. You can WhatsApp us, leave us a voice message on 083-303-7093. If you're listening to us from Pretoria or Johannesburg, you're on 98.7. For Joburg South and the West Rand, it's 103.6. For the East Rand in Ekurhuleni, it's 107.2. You can also find us on DSTV Audio Channel 889. And we are streaming today on powerfm.co.za. So for the last hour of the show, we're going to be speaking to two amazing women. The first is going to be somebody who I'm exceptionally proud to see that I've followed her journey. And this is Sipiwe Sithole, who is the founder and CEO of African Marmalade, which is an organic farming business. And we will be speaking to her shortly. And after that, what we're going to be doing is, after we've spoken about the businesses that people have created, we will then be speaking to Tandi Ngwanye, who is then the head of investment at Standard Bank, who can then also tell us about the gender investment gap. So we've all heard of the gender wage gap. We will then speak about the gender investment gap. So how do you actually invest your money to keep it going? So I think on the line, we have got Sipiwe joining us. Sipiwe, hello.
Hi, Kirsten. Thank you for having me.
Sipiwe, so nice to speak to you again. I followed you on YouTube. I followed you on the news reports. I follow you everywhere. First and foremost, please tell me, where did the name African Marmalade come from?
It was just after a discussion with a friend where we were looking at what could be the company name be, and obviously starting a business that was going to deal with indigenous crops. It was important to have the name African. And then when we thought, what else? African what? And we thought a marmalade is a very interesting gem that has got this different tones and taste of being sweet and at the same time having a slight bitterness. And we just thought that is, I think, what it would reflect, you know, as the business of what we are doing. You know, they're just the contradictions of flavors and diversity of our country that actually makes us special.
Oh, I absolutely love this. I think that's very grounded in your experience. So tell us, you're an organic farming business. What does that mean? What does that entail? And how did you even get into this? This sounds like something difficult.
Okay, fine. So what it means that we are growing clean food where we are not using harmful chemicals either on the soil or on the plants themselves. So we're not going to be spraying. So when you come to our farm, you can literally walk in the field and pick up a tomato, a peas or anything, and literally just maybe wipe it with your hands or on your clothes or whatever that you feel comfortable with and eat it without being afraid that you're going to end up in hospital or being sick because you have not thoroughly washed the stuff. So whenever we kind of need to, if there's issues with pests, we just use organic stuff that we kind of mix with be the WMT or being something like your maybe your chilies and your garlic, you know, some stuff, edible stuff. That's what we're using. We could use neem oil. We're going to mix it, let's say, for instance, with an eco-friendly dishwashing liquid. But then you will then be able to wash that kind of stuff. But remember, that stuff would have gone more into the leaves than in actual what you will be eating. So that's what it is. And then in terms of organic certification, there is a second party and a third party organic certification. The second party allows you to be able to say your produce is organically grown and you can sell it to within South Africa. And in your third party organic certification, you need one of these international or bigger organizations that are going to certify you, which allows you to export produce that has been certified as organic.
Is that quite difficult? So the way that you're speaking about it to me sounds that it sounds complicated to go organic. Is that true?
No, it's actually not. It has been made to look like it's difficult. I think the commercial farmers or the bigger, the broader agricultural sector wants to say, no, it's difficult. You cannot actually produce stuff on a bigger scale if you're going organic. It is not difficult. I think organic, it's difficult for people that are faking it, that don't really mean it. If you understand that we need to actually have got a balanced ecosystem, so you need certain little creatures in your field that are going to, so you're going to need the ladybug. You mustn't be spraying the ladybug, because you need the ladybug, you need the butterfly, you need the bees, you need all sorts of other stuff in your field. So it is not difficult to actually invite nature into your field. And what happened is that each creature kind of control. So if you have got a lizard in your field, it's going to eat something else. You know, you've got this, it eats the other stuff. So it balances that stuff. It's not up to you to decide what should live and what should die. So that is the whole stuff. And then you also plant beneficial crops. For instance, I do not have a bill for fertilizers because I use what comes from the field. I use the chicken from my free-range manure from the free-range chickens or the poultry that we had, the geese, the turkeys, and the ducks. And then you also get horse manure from the neighbors. You use all of that. And a lot of that stuff is actually free. So it's not costing me money. It's just costing me time and my diesel to actually go and collect the stuff and put it in there, allow the manure to kind of ferment, break down, then it becomes safe to actually utilize. It is not difficult. It is not expensive. What is difficult is that most of the time we've actually destroyed our topsoil.
Right.
So what happens then is that people spend time fixing the soil before they can actually start growing, because the soil is not in a position to actually grow. It does not have the organisms and the microbes that you need to be there on the soil in order for you to actually grow plants sustainably and in a viable way.
So it actually sounds like something that is almost intuitive. It's something that people can do to actually grow, to start their own businesses. Now, when we're speaking about economic empowerment, and agriculture is a particular area where economic development can take place, you're known as a master networker. You're known as somebody who pulls together certain people to bring them together to make something that is huge, that is more impactful. Now, you moved from corporate to farming, and I know that one of your experiences recently has been that you've been working with the One Farm Share platform.
Yes.
How did that actually benefit your business, and how do people become involved? How do people do what you have done?
Yeah, so what happened, for instance, with One Farm Share is that it's a program that started during heavy lockdown, where because the hospitality industry had completely shut down, and even some of the informal retail outlets were not operating, the markets were operating at limited capacity, a lot of produce was going into waste. So then obviously Standard Bank came on board with this initiative, and then that said that they will then pay for the excess produce that the farmers had, and they would be able to sell at a discount and give to organizations that had people that have subscribed to their system that have a need for food to get it to people that needed assistance with food. So how that works is that as a farmer, you will then list on the Hello Choice platform stating what you have. So you've got cabbages. How much are you selling the cabbages per ton or per kilogram or whatever the way your pricing structure is? You might be having tomatoes, you've got beetroot, you've got whatever, but it's a diverse basket. So one farmer could be having two produce, another one could have three and whatever. They all listen to the platform. The different depots, in this case being SA Harvest and Food Forward SA, they then go into the platform to see what is being offered by the farmers, and they pick and choose what they require based on the tonnage that they are allocated and the amounts that they actually need to feed. Then that stuff gets done. As a farmer, you then get confirmation that your listing has been successful, and therefore you need to deliver this depot this particular quantity. And that's all that it is. And then you get to actually supply that produce to the specific depot. In some instances, transport is being provided by this venture, or sometimes you code for your transport, you deliver to the particular depot, you get paid generally within 48 hours. And for us, that really works, because the challenge we're sitting with in the agricultural space, particularly for smallholder farmers, that you deliver your produce, you actually have got to wait for 30 days, in some instances for 60 days before you are paid. We just cannot afford to wait more than 14 days as farmers. it's worse because then you're going to get another order to deliver another volume, and you're thinking, but where am I going to be paying the salaries? Where am I going to get the packages? How do I even transport the stuff? So the system just doesn't work in its current form. And I think Standard Bank's One Farm Share program has come in really as that lifeline that smallholder farmers needed. The commercial farmers maybe do need it or benefit, but for them it's more having the access. But for the smallholder farmer, it's really sometimes, you know, this has provided an access to market. Because yes, a lot of the time the smallholder farmers grow stuff that they really don't have a guaranteed market for. Or they might have had a secured market, an order gets placed and the customer decides to cancel. Or you rock up late with the stuff and they decide they don't want it anymore. They've called somebody else. Now you're stuck with the produce. You can actually now channel that produce to One Farm Share.
Oh, Spiwe, that's such a lovely explanation and summary of what it actually does for emerging farmers. And I think it's also inspirational that emerging farmers can use a platform like that to find a market, because sometimes finding a market is the most difficult thing. And I encourage all of our listeners to go and look for the YouTube videos about African marmalade, to go and look for African marmalade. It is such a success story. Spiwe Sithole, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thanks. And let's get an update on traffic and see what's happening during load shedding.